Chazor zeich in Nishma Bechach Eschel Shagam Yivam Yehudim Tzachas Eirim Daf Tzadik Zayin. Zach the Gemara, the father of Shmuel Bar Avizel said that old tefillin in the Mishnah refers to tefillin with proper knots in the straps, and new tefillin of the Mishnah refers to tefillin which don't have the knots in their straps. Based on that, the reason Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow wearing new tefillin to a more protected place is not because it may be that it was written to be a kameya, rather it is that one may not make the knots on Shabbats, which are necessary to put them on and wear them, because that's also in the malach of tying. Why can't he just now make a bow instead of a knot? Rav Chisda said, from here we see that having a bow in place of a knot required for tefillin would make the tefillin puzzle. Abaye said Rabbi Yehuda would not allow the making of a bow on Shabbos because he says elsewhere that making a bow is considered to be making a knot on Shabbos. Shrek the Gemara, Abaye seems to suggest that if not for the issue of tying a knot on Shabbos, a bow would be a kosher substitute for a knot on the tefillin. However, Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, in the name of Rav, said that the form of the knots, meaning they form letters of the name of Hashem, are halacha l'moshe Sinai. So how can they not be substituted by a bow? He says that he makes the bow in a way that it takes on the shape of the knots. Rav Chisda, in the name of Rav, said if someone buys a number of pairs of tefillin from one who is not known to be an expert, in order to verify that they're kosher, he must check three tefillin, either two shel yad and one shel roish, or vice versa. If all the tefillin are from one person, he should be able to check any three, all shel yad or all shel roish. If they're from a few people, then he can never know whose tefillin he's checking, and therefore he can't establish a chazak at all, even by checking two shel roish and one shel yad, or vice versa. He should therefore not have to check each and every one. Mari answers, all tefillin are from one person, but we must establish that this person knew the halachas that apply to shel roish and shel yad, which is why at least one of them, of each three, have to be from either shel roish or shel yad. You have to make sure to have some shel roish and some at least one shel yad, or vice versa. Rabbi Shmuel taught one must check three tefillin shel yad and three shel roish. Presumably this means that either three of one or the other. He says three tefillin shel yad and shel roish. Shalchari means three of one or the other. Zagmar means that he has to three must be checked, which must consist of at least one shel yad and one shel roish. In fact, the Mar of Kahana told Rabbi said only two tefillin need to be checked. That follows Rebbe, who says that the chazak is established by doing something twice, not three times. In fact, the Brisa continues and says that two tefillin must be checked in the first bundle of tefillin, the second, and the third. Meaning if you want to make a chazakah for all the bundles. This presumably means that one must check three bundles for a chazakah for the remaining bundles. This means that the Brisa doesn't follow Rebbe, because according to Rebbe, you only have to check two bundles of the chayra. So Gemara does follow Rebbe. The reason each bundle must be checked is because it comes from different people. The checking of one bundle can't establish a chazakah for the other bundles. In the Brisa's case, there were only three bundles. That's why you have to check three. If there were four or five bundles, you'd have to check four or five. You have to check every single bundle. Within each bundle, you only have to check two, because it's following Rebbe, who says the chazakah is established for two times. Misha said, Mitzon tevasim aikrichais. The chulu. Both of these terms refer to bundles of tefillin. Tzivasim refers to where each pair is tied together and then piled with such other pairs. Kriichas refers to where the tefillin are all just piled together without being tied in pairs. She said, why in this case can't they be brought in by wearing a pair at a time? So Rabbi Yisrael, son of Yehuda, said, if he has enough time to bring in all the tefillin by wearing a pair at a time before Shabbos is over, Avada he does so. But if not, I mean, he's anyway going to have to bring some tefillin after Shabbos has ended, so he must wait until after Shabbos to bring in all the tefillin. She said, Rabbi Yisrael said that in times of Zakon, he may carry the tefillin less than 4 hours at a time and bring them into a protected area. Why does our Mishnah not give this method as well? Rav said, our Mishnah is discussing danger of Goyim who made a law threatening any wearer of tefillin with death. If they're seen carrying the tefillin, the same fate may be dealt to them. Therefore, they simply cover the tefillin and move on. The Brisa is discussing danger associated with robbers. To remain there is dangerous, but to carry less than 4 hours at a time is not. That's why he's allowed. Abaye asks, if our Mishnah is discussing danger from Goyim forbidding the wearing of tefillin, how is it that Rav Shimon says that tefillin should be transported via a human assembly line? They will certainly draw the attention of the Goyim. Mar says, the end of the Mishnah is discussing dangers due to robbers. It is regarding that case that Rav Shimon says this is his halacha. Mishnah said, Rabbi Shimon, I'm a nice in the chaveri v'chulu. Mar says, Machalek is the Tanakama says it's preferable for one to carry the tefillin less than 4 hours at a time because involving additional people makes this leniency regarding Shabbos a matter of public knowledge, which we don't want to do. Shimon says it's preferable to have more people involved because a lone person may mistakenly end up carrying more than 4 hours. Mishnah said, V'chein benoi. What's the baby doing out in the field? The Yeshiva Menashe said the Mishnah is discussing when the baby was born out in the field. In fact, why does the Mishnah say even if 100 people are needed? Mar explains, even though it's physically taxing on the baby to be passed from hand to hand, it must be done this way rather than to have one person walk less than 4 hours at a time. Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a nice and Adam Chavis. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda limit transfer to the tchum limitations of the owner of the barrel? Rish Lakish of Levi Saba said the Mishnah is discussing where the water is being poured from barrel to barrel, so only the water is leaving the tchum. Rabbi Yehuda says elsewhere that a dough made on Yom Tov that is not restricted to the tchum limitations of the water used to make the dough, because the water is considered insubstantial. That water is considered to be insubstantial as well, from being poured from barrel to barrel, and therefore gets no tchum restrictions. In fact, the Mar of the Mishnah says that the Rabbanan say that this, referring to the barrel, may not be moved beyond the tchum. The Mar says the Mishnah means that what is in this, meaning the water, they hold, may not be transferred beyond the tchum. In fact, the Mar of Yehuda allows transfer of the water beyond the tchum when it's absorbed in the dough, but not when it's in a liquid state. Rava says the Mishnah is discussing a barrel that had a tchum restriction, but water that had no tchum restriction. For example, it was drawn on Shabbos. In that case, even the barrel maybe move beyond the tchum because the barrel becomes bottled to the water. Jack Mara Yosef asked the Brisa, says Rabbi Yehuda allows transfer of the barrel and the water beyond the tchum where there is a caravan of people in camp for Shabbos who are in need of water. It seems that he would not allow it for a lone individual. Rabbi Yosef therefore said that our Mishnah must be also discussing a case of a caravan. Abaye said in the case of a caravan it's allowed even if the barrel and the water have tchum restrictions. In other cases it's allowed if the barrel has tchum restrictions, but only if the water doesn't have tchum restrictions. That's the case of our Mishnah. Rav Ashi said that the Mishnah is discussing a barrel and water of hefker. Therefore, there are no tchum restrictions. The Rabbanon, who argued in Rabbi Yehuda, is the Shita of Rabbi Yechon Ben Uri, who said that hefker objects get their tchum restrictions, which meaning it's 2,000 amos in every direction from where they were when were situated when Shabbos began. But whereas Rabbi Yehuda says there is no tchum associated with hefker, and that's why it's not an issue.